Good morning, Bridge City Church, White Oak location. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Yeah. Well, listen, there's no place I'd rather be than right here with you all worshiping God and praising His name. Thank you. I don't know whose coffee this is, Ralph. I drink my coffee black. This is not. If you drink your coffee like this,
put it over there.
Yeah, it's missing. It was on the table. Nobody will admit it. Nobody will say that was their coffee, but it should be a black coffee. Anyway, here, wait, where's my coffee at? Now I want it. How's everybody doing? Good? Listen, Band of Brothers Conference that you just watched and listened. Jordan earlier, he was sharing about the conference, and he was saying that there's nothing greater than seeing hundreds of men in a room worshiping God, the strength that comes from that. And as Jordan was sharing that, there was a whole bunch of ladies that said amen. It wasn't the men. Why am I pointing this out? Because there's something about whenever men become who they're called to be, what happens to the environment around them. This conference, it changed my life. It changed everything about me. I'm not asking you to sign up and register for this conference because of something that I want you to do, or I really believe that there's something that needs to happen through you. I'm signing up because I know what it did in me. And I'm talking probably about 14 years ago. I had attended Band of Brothers conferences before. We hosted them every year. And then it got too big and we had to send it off. But this was the first year that I remember I had a big responsibility. And I was exhausted. The night before, I picked up a pastor that flew in from Spain. So I was up all night. And then I had to get up early for the next 3 days, really early, and be at the church for 12, 14 hours. And I remember the huddle that we had before the conference kicked off. You know, before you run a play, you got to have a huddle. And we do that. And Ed Del Torre, who is the director of the conference, said, "Men, I want you to serve every single man that walks in this place as if it's Jesus himself." And that changed my perspective on everything. Because we're supposed to serve people like Jesus would serve people. I never had the perspective of we're serving Jesus. And I was changed from that moment forward. My perspective on what it looked like to be a man within the kingdom of God was changed. And it's never gone back. So that's why I'm asking you to participate in the Band of Brothers Conference. Because number one, we're hosting it. You have no excuse this year. Last year you had an excuse. I'm not driving 8 hours to Indiana. I don't want to be in a car with you that long. Valid. Valid excuse. This year, it takes 13 minutes from our parking lot to get to North Braddock. You could drive yourself. You could walk. Whatever you need to do. I'm not asking you to register now because there's a discount. Listen, we're discounting it. NRP's not discounting it. We are, because we want you to be there. We believe in you. We didn't set the price. NRP did. But we're going to discount it because we believe in you. Don't come to me at the end of the registration and be like, "Hey, I didn't get the discount." Yeah, I know, because you didn't listen. "Hey, the conference is full. I can't go." Well, you can come, but you can't participate. You're not going to have a seat. You're not going to have a shirt. You're not going to have a lanyard. None of it. We are capping this year's conference at 300 people. There are men across the country right now in the north that are registering. Don't be the guy that can't get in. It's our house. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the Band of Brothers Conference this year. I thank you for who you are and what you're doing. God, I thank you for everything that you have planned to do, both in and through our time today, God. And Lord, I pray that you would use each and every one of us to draw people closer to you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Listen, we're continuing our series on discipleship and what the discipleship pathway here at Bridge City Church looks like. We've had 3 weeks. Today's week 3. Next week, We have a guest speaker coming in, Pastor Ben Archer, who you guys helped give towards the launching of his church that's happening very, very soon. I'm going to be away. I'm going to be teaching at Sion Iglesias Church, Pastor Frank Rondon. He was here. I'm going to speak at his church. He's going to translate for me. And I want you to know that I will give a full report because the last time he translated for me, people were laughing at points that weren't funny. So I am not going to say one thing that is funny at all.
Right.
At who said that?
Stop.
Stop. Stop. I'm going to say this. Listen, tell the truth, shame the devil, Sandy said. Let's do it. But I'm being serious. I'm not going to say anything funny. It's going to be a very, very, very serious talk next week. And I'll give a report. Sound good? And I want you to give a report back to me. Sound good? All right. Today, discipleship pathway. What it sounds like, what it looks like, what we go through. I have a question. How many of you have ever ridden a bike before? How many of you have ever been on the trails before? Okay, remember all the people that answered yes to that in just a moment. Okay, can you remember that? All right, the discipleship pathway here at Bridge City Church, this is what it looks like. The first week we talked about gathering and what it looks like to gather. You belong. You are known and people know you. That's portions of gathering, right? The following week we talked about growing. I'm becoming more like Jesus, not just one day at a time, not just for one moment, but every day I'm becoming more like Jesus. We're growing. We're moving forward. We're walking through it. And today we're going to talk about giving. And I know that once I say the word giving, people's mentalities go, "Ooh." But I want you to grasp this. I am not talking today about giving of just our treasure. I'm talking about the fact that we are called to be givers of our whole lives. So let's go back all the way to the bicycle trail. If we're giving of our lives, if we're giving of our time, of our talent, of our treasure, we are people that are helping people move forward. So remember, we all went on a bike trail before? Some of you, you've been on the bike trail and people asked you, where does this portion of the trail lead? Where do I get onto the trail? Where's the trailhead? Where do I go if I go this way or that way? You've given direction. There's been others of us that you've helped people while you're on the trail, whether they have a chain issue or they have a flat tire, or they popped a spoke, or they have something going on with their derailleur, whatever it may be, some of you, you've helped people. Now, I want you to know that we're on a path to Jesus. Some of us are farther along on that path, and we know a little bit more about the path, about the trail. We know what it looks like. So this is what the discipleship pathway at Bridge City Church looks like. The first thing you do is you fill out a connection card. Some of you in this room, you've never filled out a connection card, and you need to have somebody lead you down that pathway. Some of you, you just need to start. You're at the trailhead. You're getting ready for the journey, and you just need to start. Starting point happens at every single, I want to know what just happened in this row. There was something funny, and Phil, you got to remember it. Write it down. Let me know, please. I want to know what happened, because I like funny things. I get to be up here every single week, and I don't get to hear the funny things. Text me in a little bit, Phil. Some of you have been to Starting Point, but you need to help somebody else get there. Some of you, after Starting Point, you've taken your next step, and you started to discover how you can use your gifts that God placed in you to become an active and growing part of the church. There's other people that you've been on their journey a little bit while longer, and you went to the first ever Purple Book group that we had at Bridge City Church last semester. How many of you went to that? There we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You got he raised both hands, first worship experience. Okay? That was the basic truths of the Bible. What do you believe and why do you believe it and how can you communicate what you believe? Some of you, you're going to sign up for your first Purple Book group this year. You're going to sign up. Last weekend, some of you, it was your first time ever going to Victory and Freedom. You got to hear a little bit more about what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you so that you can walk in freedom all the days of your life. Not just some days, but all days. And you're debating whether or not to sign up for a freedom group this semester, because that's going to help you walk that out even further. Deb Armstrong, thank you, sir. That's my mother-in-law, by the way. So in front of all you, I'm saying thank you to my mother-in-law for leading the freedom groups and what she does and her belief to see people walk in victory and freedom all the days of their life. Where's the Benedetti? I know I saw Sue. I don't know where she's at. She's hiding. Sue's hiding. She's in there. Sue, tell Rob how thankful we are. Dave's leading a freedom group this semester. Maybe you're going to jump in with him. Maybe that's part of your pathway. I'm being serious. Maybe you've already finished those things. Now it's time for you to lead somebody else. This is how we get there. Let me walk with you to starting point. This is how we get there. Let me walk with you to the next steps. This is how we get there. Let me sign you up for a group and show you how to do it. We all have something to give. So my question to you is, what has God given you? What has God given you? Because whatever he's given you, you're being called to give it away. What he gave you isn't just for you. What he gave you isn't just for you to have. Why do I say this? Because whenever we become a true follower of Jesus, we're not just somebody that's going to consume. We're somebody that's going to contribute. Healthy things produce fruit. That's what happens. Whenever you start to become healthy in your walk with Jesus, fruit begins to be produced. Now, I have another question for you today. Have you ever seen an orange tree eating an orange? Have you ever seen an apple tree enjoying an apple?
No.
Have you ever seen an avocado tree making guacamole?
No.
Huge harvest at the Stepanovic house this weekend. We harvested 2.5 jalapenos. The fruit that you produce is not for you to enjoy. Yeah, it's going to benefit you. It's going to be good for you, but it's not just for you. You're called to give it away. You're called to give the fruit that God has drawn out of you away. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve who? One another, not yourself, not your own family, not your own workplace or friend group. No, one another, everyone. And everyone has something to give. God has given each of you a what? A gift. Use it. Not for yourself, not for your own fulfillment or enjoyment. No, why? Because I said orange trees don't eat oranges, they produce them. Apple trees don't eat apples, they produce them. It'd be awesome if you had an avocado tree that produced guacamole. It'd be phenomenal. But you need a cilantro tree next to it and a jalapeno tree next to it, and you need some tomatoes to be growing by there over there. And then you need limes. Then you need garlic growing in the ground. And let's not forget about the red onion. I just gave you all my ingredients for my guacamole. You need cayenne peppers. Are you ready to go from a consumer to a contributor? That's the real question. Are you ready to stop asking, what can I get, and start asking, what can I give? And I'm not talking about money. Remove that from your head. Because when you hear giving in church, you think it's all about money. I'm talking about your time and your talent and the things God placed within you. Start looking for opportunities to say yes instead of excuses to say no. I'm preaching to myself. Some of you, it is easy to give your talent, really easy. Some of you, it's really hard to give your time. Some of you, it's almost impossible for you to be a giver of your treasure. But there's something that needs to shift in all of us to make us stop consuming and start contributing. Early on in my walk with Jesus, when I started serving God, I was on fire. I was great. Everything was wonderful. But I was saying yes to everything. I was exhausted. So when I would get an opportunity or an excuse to say no, I would seize it. And an infection around my heart called pericarditis. The lining of your heart's the pericardium. The infection fills up in between that lining and your heart, and it presses in, and it hurts. It's very painful. It took a while for them to figure that out. But the only way that they could get pictures of the rest of my heart to make sure that it was functioning properly was to go through my femoral artery. So they had to do a catheter through my femoral artery and check it out, and everything was great. My heart was fine. It was just an infection. Just. Yeah. You might die. Listen. I seized the opportunity because the doctor scared me so bad. He's like, Nick, if you pop that plug we put in your femoral artery, you will bleed out before you can call somebody to come and help you. I was like, that's a little intense, doc. You, geez, come on. You told me that I'm fine, and then, hey, to watch the plug. A week later, it was Sunday, and I remember Rachel and I were scheduled to serve in children's ministry. And she called me that morning. She would come pick me up because we were still dating at the time. We weren't engaged yet. We weren't married yet. And I told her, I'm not coming today. Nick, you're scheduled to serve. I'm good. I can't risk popping this plug. I don't want to bleed out at church. I was fine. I just didn't want to go to church that day. I wanted to sleep in. God taught me one of the most valuable lessons of my Christian walk that day, because Rachel and Jordan were in a car accident that morning driving to church. A hit and run. What was her name? Rachel remembers her name. She can pick her out of a lineup. She remembers it. The lady said she was just trying to get her babies to church. She pointed at the back seat. There was no babies in the back seat. She was just having a day. Rachel called me in a panic as they're chasing her down through Main Street in East Pittsburgh. She was scared. Jordan was nervous. He was a little kid at that point. She wouldn't have been nervous or scared if I was there. She wouldn't have been fearful if I was there. She wouldn't have been having to carry the weight that she was carrying because I didn't fulfill my responsibilities. And I remember how little I felt because I looked for an excuse to say no. From that moment forward, I never said no unless it was purposeful. I'm purposeful about what I say yes to. I'm purposeful about what I say no to. Because I want it to be part of me fulfilling the calling that God's placed on my life, on our lives. So as we look for ways to be a contributor and not a consumer, I want you to start with, am I saying yes to too many things or am I saying no to too many things? Am I asking the question, what can I get instead of what can I give? Mark 10, verse 45, Jesus. I was so excited to get the modeled. I went with Jesus. Jesus modeled a life of giving. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus modeled what it looked like to give. He gave his time. He gave his attention. He gave his compassion. He gave us truth. He gave us his life serving others. And then ultimately, he gave his entire life, everything. So we're not going to be called to give everything, but we are called to give our time, our talent, and our treasure. God's not calling you to give your whole life. He's asking you to allow him to use your whole life. There are talents in this room that are being sat on. There is time that could be devoted towards the kingdom. I'm not talking about just here. I'm talking about you sitting at the feet of Jesus reading your Bible. I'm talking to you turning off that Netflix series and spending a meaningful time having a conversation with somebody. I'm talking about you feeling so tired. It's because you're not getting filled up. What fills you up? And don't tell me vegging on the couch, eating potato chips. And listen, I'll do that with the best of them. I love white cheddar popcorn. Family size is not true. I don't know what family that bag's feeding, but it's not mine. Because my dog even drools for it. What fills you up? What gives you motivation? I love being with you all. As a matter of fact, I should be exhausted on Sunday afternoon, but usually I'm not, but then I crash later because I'm not around everybody anymore. I get filled up with being around people. I love it. What fills you up? What brings you rest? You need to figure that out. Some of you, it's reading a good book. But a lot of us are thinking that we don't have time. A lot of us think we don't have a talent. A lot of us don't think we have a treasure. God wants to use your whole life. So how do we give of our time? Sometimes the greatest thing that we can give somebody is simply our presence. Just being near them. God wants you to give of your talent. Romans 12. Just as our bodies have many parts, each part has a special function. So it is in Christ's body, we are many parts that are one body. And we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as possible. There's many gifts listed, but you use specific gifts for specific things. How would you drive a nail into a stud? Anyone? A shoe? Your shoe? I mean, you could use things, right? Right tool for the right job. You could definitely use a shoe. My dad would tell me, you could use your head, Nick. I'm hard-headed. I'll admit it. I'll tell you all. I'm telling the truth. Shaming the devil. What do you use? A hammer? Anything else?
A rock?
Sometimes you got to get creative. Okay? A nail gun. Nail guns are fun, man. They are. Rachel's scared to death of nail guns. She thinks it's just going to burp nails all over the place. I'm like, babe, there's a safety on the back. There's a safety at your hand. And then you have to push it against the stud for it to shoot. But I would love if it would go, that'd be so cool. Shooting nails into the shed. I found somebody at the first worship experience. They know how to make it happen. I'm going to invite them over. We're going to burp. All right, what do you use to make coffee? Coffee pot? French press? Oh, Ace is making French press. Pour overs? Huh? A Keurig? Would you use a hammer?
If it didn't work?
Would you use a hammer to make coffee if it didn't work? You use the right tool for the right job. There are things that you're going to be called to do within the kingdom of God that I'm not called to do. And I wouldn't be good at, but you will be. There's things that I'm called to do that you're not called to do. You're not the right tool for the job. I am. But that doesn't make us less useful. That makes us more purposeful in the area that we're called to serve in. I want you to think about what your part of the body is. You have a huge part to play. What part are you playing? Different gifts, different assignments, same mission. Same exact mission. But the enemy will lie to each and every one of us. You don't have enough time. You don't have enough talent. You can't be used. But guess what? God's not looking for your natural talent. He's looking for the supernatural that he's placed within you. And if you place yourself in the position to be with him, he will draw that out of you. He doesn't want your natural gifts. He wants your supernatural ones. And I'm talking to myself because I walked through this. I remember sitting across from Larry Powden Jr. and he said, you've tested off the charts in shepherding and leadership and pastoring. I was like, you're crazy. I was like, I know that I'm a leader because I was always the front of the line. I always had to do things first. I always had to do that. I was a bigger kid, so everybody thought I was older than I was. I was like, but I don't, that other stuff, I'm not sure about it. He's like, you could be as unsure as you want to be, but if you continue to place yourself in the presence of God, he will draw out what he's placed within you. Huh. Pretty amazing. What happens? What's in you that he wants to draw out of your life? Maybe it's your time. It's really hard for you to give of your time. Maybe you need to stretch your mentality on what time is. It's for you to give away because it's not yours anyways. You don't know the beginning. You don't know the end. But you need to schedule it and be a good steward of it. This week, I got the opportunity to give a lot of my time to pretend like I was a farmer. Friend went away. I was caring for sheep and goats and chickens and roosters and cows. And a parrot, T-bird, and fish. I was exhausted in the morning. I was exhausted. I didn't have the time to give, but I had the heart of giving. I wanted to do it. Couldn't wait. It was very fruitful at the end of it. It taught me a lot. It gave me sermon illustrations for days, months, weeks. I got another one about this parrot. I can't wait to share it with you. It was a beautiful picture. What are you struggling with giving? Is it your time? Is it your talent? Or, last but certainly not least, is it your treasure? 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will only get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must decide in each of your own hearts how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves someone who is a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all that you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Giving is our worship to God. Giving is our trust in God. Giving is our surrender to God. And you can't become more like Jesus until you become more generous. Because he gave everything. We are a people, I can't read it, Matthew 25. I can't read Matthew 25 to you, 14 through, I can't read it. I want you to take a picture and or if it pops up. But Matthew 25, everybody say Matthew 25, 14 through 30. That parable helps us to understand that we are not owners, we are stewards. Everything's not ours. He's given us the ability to steward it, to give it away so that others can benefit. It's not your time. It's not your abilities. It's not your resources. It's not your influence. It's not even your story. It's all his. He gave it all to you, but you're called to use it in a way that impacts people. Don't be the person within Matthew 25 that buries your treasure, that buries your time, that buries your talents, that buries your treasure. The question today is, what are you going to do with what he gave you? Because within giving, our character is developed. Within giving, our faithfulness is developed, our humility, our responsibility, our leadership. Truthfully, giving is where leadership begins. It doesn't begin with a title. It doesn't begin if you get ordained as the pastor of the White Oak location of Bridge City Church. It doesn't begin whenever you become a connection group leader or a team leader. It doesn't begin when you start serving on one of our teams together with somebody else. It begins with your faithfulness in every area of your life. Acts 20, verse 35. And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to
receive.
What's in your hand? What do you have? What has God given you? With what he has currently given me and what I currently have, where am I currently giving? And every one of you instantly think of money. I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about your talent, your treasure. You eventually get to a point where you start honoring him with that. We're Pittsburghers, we're Mon Valleyers, that's hard. So what's your next step? Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's your talent. Maybe it's your treasure. Maybe it's your time to start to give away what's in your hand. And listen, I know that there are men in this room. I know that there are women in this room that the whole time I've been talking, you've been thinking, I have nothing to give. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I feel beat up and weak. How can I give from that? God knew you were coming today. Because this isn't in my notes. This wasn't something I planned. God knew you were coming today because we pray every single Sunday morning. And God shared with the people praying that there's people that need to hear today. Don't grow weary. You're almost there. Don't grow weary. You're almost there. And when that was shared with me and I got a report, I got a picture of that father that's walking onto the beach and he's carrying everybody's chair. He's carrying an umbrella. He's carrying a cooler. He's carrying everybody's toys. He does not look like he's having fun. And then finally, he gets to a point where everything's where they need to be at the beach and he sits down and he goes, and that's good for a couple hours, and then he realizes he got to get everything back. And he got to start it over again. But for that moment, there was a... God wants you to have that today. God wants you to have that moment. Every time we see somebody meet Jesus, it makes everything worth it. Every time we see somebody lift their hands in worship for the first time, it makes everything worth it. Every time we see somebody sign up for a connection group for the first time, it makes everything worth it. Every time we see somebody get to read the Bible for the first time within that group, it makes everything worth it. There's been people that have been pouring out their lives so that we could get to this moment right now. If you feel weary, if you feel broken, if you feel stressed, if you feel like you have nothing to give, maybe it's because you haven't received what was given for you. John 3:16, for he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We don't have to do anything to receive God's love, to earn God's love. We don't have to give more to receive God's love. The first thing we have to do is receive what was given for us. So if you don't have a day, a time, a place, a moment where you've received Jesus Christ and the gift that he poured out for you on the cross, I want today to be your day. And I know you're afraid of the people sitting in front of you and behind you, but it's not about them. It's about you and Jesus. So if you don't have a day and a time, I'm going to ask you to do one of the bravest things you've ever done, but the best thing you will ever do. And I slip your hand up to Jesus and say, God, that's me. I need you. Amen. Amen. Anyone else today? Anyone else? Don't let this moment pass because you're not promised tomorrow. Remember, you're just a steward. You're not an owner. Anyone else? Maybe you returned the gift and it's time for you to pick it back up. You received his love once. You received the gift that he gave to you on the cross once, but you ran away from it. Maybe it's time for you to re-up that commitment, that dedication, receive the gift again. Anyone else? So what do we do then? We go outside these walls and start giving him our time, our talent, and our treasure. Be givers of what he's given you. Father God, I thank you so much for who you are and who you've called us to be. Lord, thank you for encouraging us, empowering us, and equipping us. Use us to draw people closer to you in every single way. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.